When I read a poet for the first time, I almost always look for their shortest poem. I'm lazy. Besides, I figure if a poet can't convince me with a short poem, I'm not going to be able to hang in there for the long ones. This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, June 27th, 2006. I'm Curtis Fox. Today, Jane Hirschfield, All Too Human. A few of Jane Hirschfield's short poems recently grabbed me by the lapels and said to me, nonviolently, of course, she's a Buddhist, they said, "Read me. I have something to say to you." And they really do. Take this short prose poem, for example. It has a peculiar, somewhat difficult title, "Of an Assay." I had to look assay up in the dictionary. It's a mining term meaning to test the quality of a metal or an ore. And by "of," she means the preposition itself. Yes, the poem is a testing or an exploration of a preposition. Not the most promising subject. Hirschfield explains how she got there.
I suddenly found myself writing a number of poems about small parts of speech that usually don't get much attention. So there's a poem about "to," there's a poem about and there's a poem about "of." And it is amazing to me how much these small language acts actually do and how various their work is. Of an Assay. Its chain link can be delicate or massive. In the human realm, directional. Though one thing also connects to another through "and," this is not the same. Consider. Science and elephants. The science of elephants. The elephants of science. In nature, however, the preposition is bidirectional and equal. The tree that possesses the roots is not different from the root-possessed tree. The flashing red of the hummingbird's crest is the bird. The crust of a bread loaf, the loaf. The interior non-existent without the external, each part co-equal. And so grief, too, becomes meaningless in that fortunate world.
Jane Hirschfield reading her prose poem, "Of an Assay." The poem is basically a mini-essay about how nature, unlike language, how nature doesn't have hierarchies of meaning and categorization. And it's not until the final phrase of the poem that we get its emotional punch.
And so grief, too, becomes meaningless in that fortunate world.
In that fortunate world. Not in our human realm, but in that world of nature. The implication is that the poet has suffered some kind of terrible loss and is brutally reminded that, unlike in nature, grief for humans is never meaningless. We must suffer. So after setting off to assay an ordinary part of speech, Hirschfield happens upon a totally unexpected seam of feeling and meaning. Here's a poem that deals more directly with emotional distress. It's called "The Envoy."
This was a poem written after a long and difficult year in my life. The Envoy. One day in that room, a small rat. 2 days later, a snake, who, seeing me enter, whipped the long stripe of his body under the bed, then curled like a docile house pet. I don't know how either came or left. Later, the flashlight found nothing. For a year I watched as something, terror, happiness, grief, entered and then left my body. Not knowing how it came in, not knowing how it went out. It hung where words could not reach it. It slept where light could not go. Its scent was neither snake nor rat, neither sensualist nor ascetic. There are openings in our lives of which we know nothing. Through them, the belled herds travel at will, long-legged and thirsty, covered with foreign dust.
Jane Hirschfield reading her poem, The Envoy. I can't think of another poem that so beautifully describes our vulnerability to the randomness of our moods. This week on the PoetryFoundation.org website, there's a feature about Jane Hirschfield and her poetry. You can also read an anthology of spiritual poems compiled by Hirschfield herself, and read and hear more of her poems. We're going to take next week off, but we'll be back after the July 4th holiday, after our annual orgy of patriotic feeling, with some poems about the American way of life by Tony Hoagland.
Since American culture, the old American culture, has been destroyed, we've had to find new places to get together as a society. And one of the places where we seem to come together is the food court. And that's what this poem is about.
Please drop us an email about what you think of these programs at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. Thanks to the folks who took the time to review the podcast on iTunes. We'd love more reviews if anyone else is so inclined. The music used in the program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.